You're listening to SpursCast, episode 489. My name is Paul Garcia, and I am the host of the SpursCast. Joining me in studio is Pounding the Rock's Bruno Passos. Bruno, how you doing, man?
Doing all right, Paul. Long-time Project Spurs listener, short-time sitter next to you at Spurs game, so nice to sit down and chat some Spurs with you on the podcast.
Yeah, man, it's been really cool getting to know you. So for the listeners out there, Bruno's actually one of the, Pounding the Rock's beat writers, basically, who's credentialed by the Spurs and the NBA to go to games, and he covers them. So during the season, I've gotten to know him. So, you know, we obviously, like, we look at stats. We joke on the sidelines a lot of times about the game experience. So so thanks for coming in, man. You're actually my second guest in studio. Our other Project Spurs writer, Colin Reed's, or somebody else who's been in here. So, Bruno, let's go to begin. We have kind of like a pretty kind of traditional layout that we have for the show. The first thing we do is recap the last few games since I last recorded. So last week I had recorded the Spurs. We're barely going to play the Oklahoma City Thunder, Rockets, Clippers, and Lakers. And so I had Michael DeLeon, one of our other Project Spurs writers, on the episode, and he predicted they would go 2-2. I thought San Antonio would go 3-1 during that stretch. We didn't quite get the games right, but he was a little bit more on course. So Bruno, they fall to the Thunder. They don't fall to the Thunder. They beat the Thunder, should I say, in San Antonio last Thursday by 4 points, the Spurs. Then, surprisingly, they beat the Rockets by 17 on Easter Sunday. Chris Paul was out of that game. You were actually there, right? It was,
that's right,
Paul. Yeah. I took that game off.
Yeah, that's
I wanted
right.
to be with my family. So, yeah.
You earned it?
Yeah, I kind of figured that Kawhi wasn't going to play or Chris Paul. And then on the surprising two losses for the Spurs were recently, they lost a back-to-back set. Tuesday, they lost in Los Angeles against the Clippers in a game where they were ahead by 19, and they ended up dropping that game. And then on Wednesday, they went to overtime against the Lakers. And in this one, again, the Spurs were ahead by 8. And the Lakers, I mean, they were resting Lonzo Ball. They were not resting. The guys were injured. Lonzo Ball was out. Brandon Ingram was out. But, you know, just a bunch of guys like Tyler Ennis, Channing Frye were just giving the Spurs their fit. So just kind of encompassing these last 4 games, 2-2, what are your thoughts on the Spurs right now?
Yeah, I mean, you said those two losses are surprising. They are, in the sense that you expected them to win it, but not surprising when you look at the way the Spurs have played on the road. I think they ended up now, are they 14-26?
Yeah, they're
14-26.
Yeah.
And, you know, they had lost their previous two to the Lakers, so and they've squandered some leads. So all in all, not too surprising that way, but very disappointing given, you know, their chance to strengthen their hold on the forward seed that they had at the time. And, yeah, now they're back into the morass of that Western Conference playoff battle between, you know, the 4 and 8 seeds right now.
Yeah, and that's kind of something Bruno just mentioned right there, is that this, even though it looks bad for the Spurs that they dropped these two games, they're still in pretty good position to qualify for the playoffs. They're probably not going to get as good a seed as they want. And, you know, there was a time there on Tuesday when they were ahead of the Clippers where there was a chance where Portland had just lost, so there was that 3 seed was actually still in play. But that didn't quite happen. So the Spurs are most likely going to qualify for the playoffs. All they got to do really is just win one more game in the event that Denver doesn't go undefeated. And the Nuggets have a really tough schedule. They play all playoff teams that are kind of in the standings right now. So most likely it looks like San Antonio will get one of those bottom seeds there in the Western Conference unless they absolutely bottom out and lose all their games. Bruno, let's go to our first topic of this episode, and it's the same topic I have to begin every episode with. The Project Spurs.
Dreading this.
Yeah, and let listeners know it's basically Kawhi Leonard. So here's the timeline for the listeners since the last time I recorded what's happened. So on Saturday, we all get the alert from Woj and Michael Wright that Kawhi's gone to New York to go rehab under his personal, you know, medical team. He's going to be there's no expectation or no date of when he's going to return, you know, to San Antonio. It could be this season. It could be in the playoffs. It could be never. We just don't know right now.
Big change there.
Okay. And then on Monday, Twitter got going because Brian Windhorst, he went on Outside the Lines and he basically threw a line out there. He said, teams will call the Spurs, you know, about Kawhi this coming summer. So he said that and it didn't gain too much traction. But then by Tuesday, Zach Lowe made it really catch fire because then he on Twitter, he put 100% true. Vultures are circling in hopes of action around the draft. So then, you know, once Zach said that, then people started digging up the Windhorst quote. And something to recall is that Windhorst did say, you know, in his opinion, he thinks Kawhi will sign at Supermax with the Spurs. He doesn't think he's actually leaving. But, you know, this obviously got all the rumor mills coming out. You got teams already saying that so-and-so is involved. Just on Twitter. Something interesting, though, is that with Lowe mentioning the draft is actually 9 days before the Spurs can even offer Kawhi the Supermax. It's on June 21st. So Kawhi's still out, you know, on a game-by-game basis. So for now, the Spurs haven't ruled him out for the season. We think he's still in New York, apparently. And the Spurs have three regular season games left. So just kind of your thoughts on this whole situation, especially with this news that teams are going to start calling on draft night instead of him even getting to free agency.
July 1st. The phone will ring, and that's understandable given the information, the limited information that's out there that teams are seeing, that we're seeing. Of course, there should be interest because, you know, there's at least an element of uncertainty with Kawhi's status in the long term. That said, I think the phone will ring, Spurs will pick it up, and they'll hang it up immediately, right? Nothing in the draft, I think, is going to move the needle for them. No individual player can compare to a top three, top five superstar in terms of you know, what the Spurs can get out of it. And I don't see any reason why that story is as, you know, as fun as it is in the time to, you know, get people talking. I don't see why, given what we know, why the Spurs would be fielding any offers. Now, we don't know everything. We don't know much at all. We've just got these pinholes of information right now. But given what we know, I don't see how that really changes in the way we should expect Kawhi to, if offered that Supermax, and all signs point that he'll get the offer, that he wouldn't sign it.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, for you and I, who we both, you know, we cover the team for our respective websites that we write for, and just all the Spurs beat writers that we all know, we know at the games, it's going to be a long summer just because of, like we mentioned, the rumors. You know, every team can just basically make out a rumor, oh, we offered this guy for Kawhi, and it's going to have a ripple effect across the league where players are going to hear that their name was leaked in certain trade requests, and then, you know, that strains some relationships with their own teams that they're on right now. So
could be an advantage for the Spurs.
Yeah, it could. Yeah. So it's just going to be crazy. And I mean, it'd be just the fact that it's going to probably start all the rumor stuff right around the draft time. And then we still have to go into free agency on July 1st and see, do they offer him the Supermax? Do they not? And all those types of rumors. And, you know, so it could be a long summer unless we see either Kawhi comes back earlier, you know, plays at some time, and we see the old Kawhi, or you know, they have some sort of visual of like Pop and the team and him, you know, showing more, you know, I guess cohesion rather than him a little bit more distant right now from what it looks like. Bruno, let's move on to the second topic, and that's the question of the All-NBA team. LaMarcus Aldridge right now, he looks pretty much like a lock, like he's going to make one of those three teams.
He should.
I was kind of just putting together some names here, and so when the media does vote at the end of the year for this selection, they're going to basically have like a first team vote, a second and third team, if I recall. It's kind of like the format. So I'm looking at some names here, and Anthony Davis, they have the option of putting him as a center forward. So I think they're going to put him as a center most likely.
Yeah.
Then I think LeBron's at second forward.
Yeah.
And then you got Giannis most likely. So do you think those are the three guys at forward, center, Davis, LeBron, Giannis for the first team?
Giannis makes sense. I haven't really kind of compared between if people are leaning more heavily between Giannis and KD. Giannis is a perfectly fine choice for that first team. And like you said, I think given that they probably want to fit LeBron plus that second player in the forward slots, the voting should probably lean towards Anthony Davis getting those center votes, which it makes things better for LaMarcus Aldridge, because I think Kevin O'Connor of The Ringer tweeted recently that on the ballots, LaMarcus Aldridge is only eligible as a forward. Is that right?
Yes, only a forward, yeah.
Yeah, so that should help him, right? I mean, if you look at that top tier talent in the forwards, you know, after you get past the LeBron James, Giannis, KD, I don't know who else. Is there anyone else that you would put above LaMarcus there?
No, I mean, I was going to go through the rest of the names. So let's say that's the first team, LeBron, Giannis, and Davis, and then maybe Durant. Yeah. I think Durant, the thing that hurts him is that he has missed a little bit. He's missed games compared to Giannis. Okay, so now let's look at the other forwards. You know, if we're saying the second team, you got Durant there, or Giannis.
Yeah.
You got Aldridge. I mean, after that, there's really nobody who... There's Paul George. LaMarcus has had a better season. I think voters will see
that. I think so, yeah.
And then I can't even get any other names. As far as traditional forwards, you got maybe like Jimmy Butler, who's been hurt all year.
He has, yeah. Is he a de facto forward, not shooting guard?
Yeah, okay. Exactly. They might put him as a guard. The real area here that's interesting is the big man, the center position. You know, like we said, if you put Davis at the center spot, then you have you still have Joel Embiid out there. You still have Karl Anthony Towns, and you still have Rudy Gobert. And so those are like four guys kind of jockeying for one center position, three center positions. So I wonder if maybe they do something where, like, I don't know if they're eligible, if they're able to move like Towns to power forward or somebody like that. So I think overall we're pretty much in agreement. LaMarcus will make the first or second team, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you mentioned a lot of Paul George. There's Blake Griffin's not going to go ahead of LaMarcus. Draymond Green is out there as well. has a bit of a reputation. But if you look at the numbers, if you look at the impact on the team's success, I don't see how you would put him above LaMarcus either.
Okay, Bruno, one other topic I want to bring up is Tony Parker. You know, he gave up the starting point guard role back in early January to DeJounte Murray. And overall, you know, his stats look okay. There's 7.8 points, 3.7 assists off the bench in less than 20 minutes, 19.6 minutes, 46% shooting. And in some games in the past, he's kind of shown that he can come in and you know, really put a little bit of distance for the Spurs' second unit. But lately, he just hasn't looked good. What's going on with Tony right now?
Yeah, so you look at Tony Parker's numbers, the last 11 games, he's averaging 3.9 points per game on under 28% shooting from the field. That's terrible. He's been the worst player for the Spurs in that stretch. And, you know, there's been some fluidity with the rotations in that time. I don't know if it's got to do with that. I don't know if, you know, he's you know, kind of a bit banged up right now. But either way, it's a hole for the Spurs, and he's generally one of those guys that they can count on to, you know, be the metronome for that offense and, you know, keep things going. And if he's not able to hit those shots consistently, get to his spots and make things happen, then it's an issue.
Yeah, and you know, you look at Pop right now in these last few games, and he's already kind of figured out his rotation. It's basically Murray, Mills, Green, Anderson, and Aldridge as a starting five. In the event they don't play a team with the big guys, you know, if not, he will start Powell if he has to. But that's kind of his preferred lineup, and they're statistically and by the eye test, they're obviously doing very well. And then his bench unit is Parker, Bryn Forbes, Manu, Rudy Gay, and Pau Gasol.
Yeah,
and like you mentioned there, you know, in the playoffs, those a lot of starters, their minutes increase. You know, they're not taking as much breaks, they're not giving as much time to second units like Parker and Manu and these guys can play against. And so that's a big concern if Parker's not giving you anything in the playoffs when you really don't have another option, because outside of just kind of trimming the rotation, because a lot of fans do like Derek White, but he's been in Austin all year. I mean, even tonight that we're recording this, you and I, he's playing in the Austin game, and I just don't see it in Pop to just bring a rookie, even though he's been playing well in the G League, to just put him in, throw him in the fire unless there was some sort of injury situation.
Definitely not. Yeah, and you mentioned, you know, the Spurs have handed the keys to DeJounte now, and he's a different kind of point guard, you know, so he's not somebody who's going to make the offense altogether better by getting guys in their spots, you know, hitting the pick and pop perfectly, still learning that. And, you know, that's what Tony is, you know, supposed to give you. But if he's not really a threat to score, if that shooting's not there, then defenses can tighten up, and he doesn't have that speed to turn the corner and make him pay.
Yeah, and I feel like the one guy who that's going to put now more pressure on, if he's not playing well, let's just say the playoffs do come and he's still playing like this, is Manu. Yeah. Where, you know, I still even with Forbes, I don't trust Pop's going to give him that many minutes. And if Parker's not giving anything, then that's all on Manu's shoulders to have to be productive every single game, with at least bringing some sort of points off the bench. You know, Rudy helps you out too, but in terms of guard play, I feel like that's going to put a lot more stress on the 40-year-old Manu Ginobili.
Yeah, that second unit's got some issues still to work out. Rudy Gay's been good as of late. I think that second unit should still work kind of around him a bit more. As that second, he's aside from LaMarcus, he's the only other guy that can, you know, you can get buckets. So I'd like to see them sort of lean around him and kind of put him in situations like LaMarcus does in the post, and just let him work, because not much else is happening right now.
That's a question I want to get your take on. I had one of our writers, Steven Anderson, on an episode a few weeks ago, and we brought up Rudy Gay, and we said, how come in some games Pop does close with him, but then sometimes he doesn't? Like, just perfect example, the Clippers game.
Yeah.
He played like the first 3 minutes, Pop takes him out, and then he doesn't close the game. And like you mentioned, he's that other guy to LaMarcus who can also create his own shot. But then against the Lakers, he did close it out. What do you think is going on here? Is it, from my take at that time, I had just said that it's Pop not trusting him yet. Like,
yeah,
Pop's going to go to battle with the guys that he knows, like, you know, knows his plays, knows himself, his coaching style inside and out.
Yeah.
Whereas Rudy's still kind of like a new face to him. Is that what do you think's going on here?
I think there's a case of what we see and what Pop sees out there that Rudy's doing, and it's kind of two different things, right? We hear Pop talk in post game whenever he's asked about Rudy, and he's like, "Yeah, you know, we know we can score, but it's always good when he does those other things." And I think Pop's expecting, you know, a little bit more out of him defensively. He's expecting him to kind of get to his spots better offensively and know the system. And I think we don't really hone in on that very much when we're watching the games live. But I think Pop is noticing these things, and that's why every now and then we see Rudy get pulled in kind of important situations where you think he should be out there.
Yeah, and going back to shifting back to Parker, one interesting thing is that, you know, against the Clippers game the other day, you saw that Murray didn't close out the game either, just like Rudy. And from my take, you know, fans were obviously upset. They wanted Murray in there instead of Pop closed out with a Manu at point guard and basically Patty Mills together. It was that backcourt, along with Danny Green and Kyle Anderson against the Clippers game. And so then Murray did close against the Lakers, and, you know, he put on a pretty good showing offensively. But yeah. I still feel like a lot of times Pop is going to be more reserved of the lack of spacing that Murray provides for them. And yeah. even though you lose a defense, you saw what those teams are doing to them in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, and then, you know, games get a bit different at the end, and teams can be a bit more prepared for what Murray can offer in the half court, right? You know, they know how to play him in the pick and roll, and that's a bit of an issue for a team that, you know, is trying to get that bucket to tie it or win it.
Yeah, so that's definitely something to watch, especially Parker, like Bruno mentioned. Just, you know, maybe it's just him kind of saving all he has for the playoffs, but if not, I mean, he's got to bring it in round one. Like, you know, he was playing well last year to start against Memphis.
Yeah, we saw how important he was in the playoffs last year and really gave, you know, don't know how far the Spurs actually go in the playoffs without him last year.
Yeah, so that'll be something interesting to watch going forward now with Tony Parker. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break and we'll be right back.
This podcast is brought to you by ADT. When it comes to something as important as your family safety, you need real protection with ADT. What does real protection mean for you? Well, real protection means you can get all of the latest innovation in smart home security from ADT combined with 24/7 monitoring from the most trusted name in home security. You'll get a team of professionals designing and installing a secure smart home just for you, including 18,000 employees safeguarding you and your family, along with a connection to first responders. Your secure smart home includes everything from video doorbells and indoor and outdoor cameras to smart locks and lights controlled from the ADT Go app or the sound of your voice. You can also get professionally monitored carbon monoxide and smoke detectors. Everything is custom designed to fit your home, all from the nation's number one smart home security provider. You can even get safety on the go, in the car, or when the kids are at school with the ADT Go app with an SOS button. Ready to learn more? Visit ADT.com/podcast to learn more about how ADT can design and install a secure smart home just for you.
Thank you for listening to SpursCast, episode 489. I am joined by Bruno Passos of PoundingTheRock.com. If you're on Twitter, please follow him, at BouncePassos, and please go over to Pounding the Rock and read his work. Bruno, now we're going to go through what we call our Spurs Twitter questions. So basically, I go online, I ask the listeners to send us questions using the hashtag SpursCast. And so we have three in this week. The first one comes from at Greco Suave. He asks, do any of the Villanova players draw the eye of the Spurs staff in the upcoming draft?
My attention is generally occupied by the NBA this time, you know, for the entire stretch. I have managed to catch a bit of March Madness, so familiar with the team's sort of top-tier talent. Bridges is, I believe, the most sort of elite prospect on the team. He's garnered some comparisons to Kawhi Leonard. Unfortunately, it looks like he'll be off the board well before the Spurs are up, which I don't know where they're penciled.
Right now, as of today, that you and I are recording this on Thursday evening, they're expected to get the 20th pick.
Okay, so presumably everyone else would be on the board. Dante DiVincenzo had that huge game in the final. Don't think he's quite at the sort of 20 spot that the Spurs will be at. Jalen Brunson, the point guard, is definitely an NBA caliber player, but at the point guard position, the Spurs seem fairly set right now in terms of, you know, where they want to move forward. So don't think he'd be quite the type of guy that would get their eye either.
Yeah, and you know, just basically what you just said, on NBADraft.net, Jalen Brunson's expected to go 28. So that's kind of like, you know, that's a little bit later, I think, than for what the Spurs could get as far as a player. And like you mentioned, they already have a point guard with DeJounte and Derek White. Their point guard rotation for the future is pretty much set. DiVincenzo, you know, 6'4 shooting guard. He had the big tournament game with 31 points there to win the championship. But even on their site, NBADraft.net, he's expected to go in the late first to early second. So I think that if the Spurs wanted to gamble, maybe with their second round pick, they could try to pick somebody like him up. And yeah, unless they make a trade, you're right, they can't get Bridges unless they were to do some sort of trade where they get a top 10 lottery pick. Let's go to our second question, Bruno, and that is brought to us by B. Mahani. They ask, everyone is talking about the Supermax Kawhi will be offered this offseason. Do you think he will? Do you think he will get it? With this lingering injury, do you feel that type of commitment is too risky? If the Spurs are not willing to go all in, do you see a trade more likely?
So I don't know how much the injury really bothers the Spurs, right? They've cleared Kawhi to play. So you know, I think according to them, they think Kawhi can go out there and play, and if that's the case, and they should also think that he's good for that $219 million contract. So it doesn't look like there is anything that would get them to draw pause right now.
Okay, I think that there, like you, I agree. I think that as long as the you know, there's time here. There's between now and basically July 1st to pick up the phone and make that phone call of extending it to him. And then he would have, if they did give it to him, he would have after the moratorium, which is like first 6 or 5 days after July starts, up until like mid-October, basically. So there's some time there. And I think that that's that time that you would need to mend this relationship if it is really broken from what we're hearing. We don't know if it's really broken. We've obviously only heard Kawhi speak a few weeks ago. He just said he wants to be a Spur for life or something, or he wants to finish his career here.
Yeah, for sure.
So, and then, you know, and then Pop, you know, and the players have had some of their sound bites taken apart in interviews. But as long as that relationship can be mended, and like Bruno mentioned, I think that from the Spurs' eyes, he's okay. He can play according to all their medical testing. But it's kind of on Kawhi's side right now. You know, he feels that he can't play. He has an outside team looking at his situation. And if that doesn't progress any better, it's in terms of communication, then I think that, yeah, it is. Then it becomes a very risky move, and here's why. In about 1 month and 9 days, April 14th, it's going to be, or not May 14th, should I say, it's going to be a year since we've seen Kawhi at that MVP type level when Zaza basically went under his ankle, his foot. So if Kawhi doesn't play, you know, in these next few games to end the season or even in the playoffs, and we don't see that old Kawhi, all we saw was it was 9 games, then there is that risk of, is he still, you know, that's a big risk, a whole year now away from basketball of being that top elite type player. So that is something that, that I think that that needs to be observed. And then also, what did you think about that other question? If they don't give him the supermax, let's say they try to go a little bit lower, or like they try to put some sort of restrictions in the contract, like triggers, do you think that if he would probably not sign it and then maybe want out?
Yeah, it's hard to say. You know, generally you would think that whatever they come at him with is an offer that he'll find agreeable. But at the same time, you know, there's a bit of discontent with the situation with the shoe contract, you know, that they threw back with Air Jordan. So it's a bit of a wild card if the Spurs don't put you know, that max offer sheet out there. It's hard to say.
Yeah, it's really hard to say, like you mentioned right now, because again, we're only reading out of the silence, basically, is what we're making all the a lot of people are just making, even like everybody on ESPN that's making all these, and Fox Sports One, they're just making all these opinions based on the situation, because no one actually has their ears plugged into what's going on. We're not in the room with Kawhi or the Spurs' medical staff in terms of what's exactly happening with that injury, so we don't know exactly how far these relationships have broken down.
He's Bartleby the Scrivener in NBA form.
Let's go on to our last Spurs Twitter question. It comes from @RodDancer1. He asks, question for your podcast. Do you think Kawhi will be ready for the first round of the playoffs?
I don't. Okay. I don't think we have any evidence to, you know, make us lean that way. I'd hope so. It would be a total game changer in a playoffs that's, you know, looking a little bit easy to predict, at least the first few rounds, or I guess in what matters out of the West. But in terms of, do I expect it? I don't expect it. I expect the Spurs, this to be the Spurs team that they take into the postseason.
I agree with you. You know, next week is actually, we're recording this on a Thursday. By next Saturday, the playoffs are beginning. That's it. It's April 14th. Unless he somehow plays in these next three games or gets at least one of the practice or two, one practice in, I just don't see it either. There's just no evidence that, you know, the team already kind of has their formula, their chemistry, their rotations. Pop's got it down to that 10-man rotation. And so I don't see it either. You know, I basically have to see it to believe it. So I'm with Bruno in that question as well, on that question. Bruno, let's move on to our last segment, which is predicting the Spurs' next three games. We just like to do this during all our podcasts. So the first game the Spurs return home on Saturday against the Portland Trailblazers. The Blazers are 48-30, third out west, 6-4 in their last 10. Damian Lillard, the Blazers are playing tonight, Thursday, against the Rockets, and he's out for that game with an ankle injury, so we don't know the status by Saturday. Offensively, they're 15th, 108.8 points per 100. Defensively, 9th, 106.5 points per 100. Who do you have Saturday between the Spurs and Blazers?
Yeah, Damian Lillard's situation is obviously the wild card here. If he comes in, then it's a tough one. But otherwise, you know, I'm with all these predictions, I'm happy to sort of lean on the home and away splits and give the Spurs the home win.
Yeah, I'm with you too. I think this is the opposite Spurs team when they go home. They're actually okay.
Yeah.
We saw them beat, you know, recently the Thunder and then, like I mentioned, the Rockets too. So I got the Spurs in this one. Even if Dame plays, I feel like they're going to kind of limit his minutes if that would be his first game back. They have a big gap. They only have 30 losses. The next closest team to them has 33 losses, which is four games left for the Blazers. So I feel like they can be a little bit more conservative in terms of keeping that third seed. Then Monday, Bruno, the Spurs play the Sacramento Kings at home. The Kings are 25-54. They're 27th out west, 3-7 their last 10. 29th on offense and 28th on defense. Who do you have in that one?
Spurs. Okay. Yeah, this one should be easy, right? There's no reason to not think that they come locked in and just take care of business and send the Kings back.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think Sacramento probably has a vacation trip planned out, so they're checking out for that one. Last game, Bruno, of the season is next Wednesday. It's in New Orleans, so the Spurs go back on that dreaded place called the Road, where they're 6-16 since January. Not very good. The Pelicans are 44-34, eighth currently, but that could change. They're 5-5 in their last 10. Offensively, 14th, 108.9 points per 100. Defensively, 13th, 107.6 points per 100. Who do you have in this one?
So it's the Spurs on the road against the Pelicans in a game that the end last game 82 with major playoff implications on the line. I think we've seen this movie before, and I don't expect it'll be a different outcome, unfortunately. I'd give the Pelicans a nod and Spurs take an L on the last game of the season.
Yeah, I'm with you too there. And what's going to be interesting is I think that, you know, obviously if they get those first two wins, then they're going to be okay in qualifying for the playoffs. But I think that Pelicans game could be a big one where that kind of determines whether you're going to be seeded like 4-8 kind of matchup, depending on, you know, what OKC, what Minnesota, what New Orleans and Utah have done by that point. So I think that's a big game, like you mentioned, in terms of their fate of who they're going to draw in round one. You know, if they lose that one, we don't know if they'll be 7th or 8th or you know, if they win it, you know, are they 4th, 5th, or 6th?
Yeah, I'm already getting a bit of a headache thinking about the different scenarios with tiebreakers and all that. It's easy to get cross-eyed with it right now. And don't know, could be another, hopefully it won't be another situation like 2015. Where the Spurs go from a more favorable matchup to a less favorable one, but we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, we'll definitely have to just wait and see. All right, thanks, Bruno, for coming on the Spurscast. Make sure if you're following him on Twitter, it's at Bruno Bounce Pastos, at Bounce Pastos. And again, visit poundingtherock.com is where all Bruno's work is written. So thanks again for Bruno for coming on this episode. Just a few quick reminders before we close out the show. Continue to send your questions to hashtag Spurscast. At Project Spurs, follow at Project Spurs, at @ATLeague_NBA, at the Spurscast, at Project Spurs Network, and then visit ProjectSpurs.com, AnalyzingTheLeague.com, ProjectSpurs.net, and then if you're on iTunes, please leave us a rating and review. The show listeners will change a little bit the format pretty soon. Should the Spurs qualify for the playoffs, we're going to be doing episodes after each game. After each round, each game of the playoffs, and if they don't, then we'll go into that type of off-season mode with the show. Thanks again, Bruno, for coming on this episode.
Thanks for having me, Paul.
Thank you for listening.